Hello, George Hofford with a colleague, a recently retired colleague, Marvin Bullock, the newly last September retired president, a CEO of the Sparta White County Chamber of Commerce, good friend, colleague, and it's going to be a good show because I'm going to listen and let Marvin tell you a lot of things going on and who Marvin is. So, Marvin, this show is about the who primarily. It's about who you are, where you've been, where you're going, and the role you have played and are playing in our region. So welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Now, you've told me three times, but I'm ADD. How many years were you president of the chamber?
8 years.
Wow.
But now keep in mind, Sparta is a small chamber, so I was also the janitor and the plumber else it took.
We do it, but I knew it was at least 5 years, but the year. Well, what a difference you have made and others have made, and Sparta is a full partner in our region, the Highlands. So let's do something. We're going to talk about you a lot, I hope, and I'm going to listen a lot, I hope. And let's start with you. Let's start at age birth and just go all – just talk about growing up and childhood and friends and stories and anything you want to tell us, Marvin.
Well, I was born in Argentia, Newfoundland. Can you tell from this accent?
Do I have that Canadian accent?
Yeah. No, we moved to the States. My father was a CB, and my mother was from Newfoundland. And they met up there, and he was building a hospital up there in a little town called Argentia.
Okay.
And on a naval base. Yeah. And then we went to San Diego. And by the time I was 3 years old, we were living in Augusta, Tennessee.
You told me you are almost a native born.
I've called this area home for a long, long time. That's for sure.
I did not know that. So. Okay, so you're here at three or whatever, and let's talk about growing up and what you did.
Okay. My father died in the service. He became ill and passed away.
Okay.
About 4 years later, my mother married Donald Haynes. Donald and Ella Haynes, Haynes Office Supply, business people here in town and that kind of thing. And so I grew up here, went to Putnam County Senior High, went to Tennessee Tech. Went to the Livingston. I guess it's now it's called TCAT as well.
Yes.
I went to school from like 76 to 83. Most people that go to school that long, you call them doctor. I am not. Grew up in Cookeville. Then a fellow named Art Bosnick, 7 foot, 1 inch tall, weighed 350 pounds.
Okay.
Was a Tennessee Tech graduate, and of course he played basketball up there. He was also a teacher at the Mayland School. And Ross Cardwell from Sparta, Tennessee, started when I was a child. I mean, like 9 or 10 years old, they started dragging me all around here going caving.
And that's how you found your passion.
That's exactly where the passion for the outdoors came from, and I credit. When people ask how I got to Sparta, I say you can blame Ross and Brenda Cardwell because they had me all over that county. There's more caves in White County, Tennessee than any other county in the United States.
I did not know that.
I fell in love with that area, and later on, I was the Hewlett-Packard Advanced Systems rep down in Huntsville, Alabama for a while. Then I moved up to Nashville, Tennessee, part of information systems and taught information systems at Vanderbilt in Nashville.
Wow.
Taught MET 545 at State Tech in Nashville for a few years. And I got the sailing bug so bad.
I understand.
At one point, I had a boat on Percy Priest and one on Old Hickory. So regardless of which way the wind was blowing.
You could do it.
I could go sailing. And then I wanted to buy a place to escape the city on the weekends and came back. And frankly, I pretty much just shopped Sparta in the White County area looking for land. I bought a pretty good sized piece of land up on Bonnier Mountain.
Wow.
And that became my escape. But I still had the sailing bug real bad.
That's right.
And so I took the larger boat and moved to the coast in North Carolina. And I lived on that sailboat for a while.
You lived on the boat.
I lived on that sailboat. And, you know, I had this was still home. I had Sparta, Tennessee on the transom of the boat. And you'd be surprised how many people saw that Sparta, Tennessee as the hailing port. And they knew where it was because they made the relationship. That's near Virgin Falls.
See, amazing. Yep.
Which is one of our wonderful outdoor attractions here.
Yeah. George Hallford with Marvin Bullock talking about right now who he is. But we're going to spend some time on that story and our waterfalls and what we have here. We're a world-class outdoor recreational area that if you're from here, you probably think everybody's this way. So,
yeah. Well, George, something that I've enjoyed asking over the years is, other than snow skiing and ocean sports,
yep,
name anything that you can't do here that people can do in New Zealand, which is considered the adventure capital of the world. And so far, no one's been able to come up with an answer. You know, just over the mountain, about 40 minutes away, is some of the best hang gliding in North America.
Did not know that.
Yep, your Dunlap, Pikeville area over there, they have flight schools if anybody's interested in learning, but they also have takeoff ramps from both sides, so regardless of wind direction, people can go up there and fly, and you can fly 90 miles without power of any kind. I had a hang glider when I was in college, but I never got very good at it. I always came back with grass stains on my knees.
I understand.
But it's a wonderful sport. And you'd be surprised how many people that I met over in Pikeville that were sort of like the surf bums were back in the 60s that had moved to Pikeville. Some of them had advanced degrees and they were working in restaurants and stuff just so they could be close to that hang gliding.
Wow. Talk about your – I like to hear about what was it like living on a sailboat, the pros and the cons. I've got another friend that's living on a boat in Chattanooga, but I haven't ever talked to him about that. What was your experiences doing that?
You know, I really can't think of any cons. I downsized quite a bit from a 2,600-square-foot house in Nashville to a 30-foot sailboat, which is not
a little
real
house
big.
Guy.
And I bought a van, then took all the seats out and everything, hung rods in the back so I could have hanging clothes and whatnot, and basically a garage I could take from marina to marina with me as I moved around while I was over there. And, you know, it's surprisingly inexpensive, for one thing, to live on a sailboat. And like when I lived in New Bern, North Carolina on the sailboat,
yeah.
I was living at the
Outer Banks, right? Yep. Out up in New Bern. No, New Bern is, okay.
Yeah, and it's right over there on the coast. And, you know, I think I was paying at the time, this would have been around 2003, $165 a month to live at the Hilton Marina. And had access to all the gymnasium and all the accoutrements.
You had the Hilton for $165.
Yep. And that included everything except electricity. We had a separate electric hookup for the boats. And so I did pay an electric bill on top of that. But got to do a lot of traveling. I'd go outside out there, and you could go down to Wilmington or Charleston, oh, yeah, down to Florida, went out to Bermuda.
How many years did you live there?
Let's see. I was in North Carolina for 11 years.
Man, what an – you could write a book on that, Marvin. No.
Well, and it wasn't just all play.
You could leave some of it out, but you could,
I was not retired, but I had started planning this and got my real estate license in Nashville.
Okay.
And used reciprocity to have that transferred to North Carolina. Worked for another firm for 5 years, and then I started Keller Williams Market Center, number 688 in New Bern, North Carolina. And the last time I checked, we have over 300 agents that are working in that one office.
Man.
And so I was working, and I was getting to play quite a bit. It was nice, but I was still homesick. You know, it's very flat over there. They do have a lot of beautiful water, but it was time to come home.
It's different.
Yep. And so 2011, I packed up and moved back to Tennessee.
You already knew about Sparta, but you heard about opportunities, the chamber. How did you find out about the chamber?
Well, see, I still owned that big piece of land up on Bonaire Mountain.
Well, that's right.
Yep.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm going to call it a cabin, but that's really a euphemism for tiny remote dwelling up there on the mountain on that land. It was only 369 square feet, but my backyard was three quarters of a mile long, quite literally.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was close to Virgin Falls. As a matter of fact, you could walk to Virgin Falls from there and never cross a road. But it was only 7 miles from the courthouse, or less than 7 miles to the courthouse. And
you were ahead of utopia. And for what you were looking for.
And I was doing some work for Tennessee Parks and Greenways Foundation, okay. Which, by the way, that's the only non-blood relative mentioned in my will. I've seen them do so much with so little for so long. They're now called Ten Green, T-E-N-N Green.
Ten Green. Probably met Dr. Womack somewhere.
Oh, certainly.
What a guy. What a zealot for green for us and greenways and what
he,
a job
he is done. The John Muir of the Cumberland.
Yes, he is.
He really is. He has added so much in properties.
Amazing his heart and what he's involved in. And how Cummins Falls, now we're nationally ranked, what, swimming hole and other things. And a marathon. This is Dr. Womack and others. But I mean,
you know when they put up the signs for Cummins Falls State Park down there, the sales tax collection in Baxter jumped 20%. Now I know Baxter's not big, but that was huge for Baxter.
Well, that's right
there. Look at the stuff they have built out there since those signs went up. Now for the following 5 years, it went up an additional 37%.
Man, that happened overnight. I think Dr. Womack said that land would be bought if we didn't have it. So, I'm excited already. George Hoffer with Marvin Bullock will return very soon.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
George Hofford, hello, with Marvin Bullock. And Marvin, I'm already feeling like we're going to run out of time. That you're a wealth of information and your life experiences on the Upper Cumberland and living on a sailboat and tiny houses and what you have done. You were ahead of your time, to be honest with you. Now you're right in vogue. Let's pick up where we left off. And let's just talk about some of the things we were talking about off air about Sparta. You have 400 distance, remote workers.
We have over 400 remote workers who have moved in from all over the country. Part of that was cost of living. Part of it is because people tend to relocate where they recreate.
That's an important statement.
And when they find out that we've got world-class kayaking to the extent there's already about a half a dozen world-renowned whitewater kayakers live in White County, that brings even more of them in. The whitewater's so good, they've had 4 international competitions in less than 10 years.
Unbelievable.
Jackson Kayak is
Olympian,
based there.
Olympian, right? Yep. Living right here, and we make these right down the street.
Right, yep. Jackson Kayak's in their 300,000-square-foot building out there south of Sparta. But the reason they came here was because this is near the places where they could use some of those boats as they built them and try them out. And my understanding is one of Eric Jackson's favorite whitewater runs is coming off the Cumberland Plateau down the Caney Fork River into Scott's Gulf.
Man, what a story. What a story. Mm-hmm. So we're in the middle of a gold mine. That's what when you look at our world class this and world class that and waterfalls and state parks. We were talking off air about how many state parks there are within what, an hour of us?
Or? Yep. We're probably within 2 hours of about 60 or 70% of Tennessee's 58 state parks.
58. And we're right here in the middle of it.
We're right in the middle of it. And it's truly world-class stuff, not just the white water, but the caving, back to the spelunking opportunities, climbing, hang gliding's not far away. And, you know, for instance, Virgin Falls back in probably over 20 years ago, but Outside Magazine listed it as one of the top 10 waterfall hikes in the United States.
See, I mean,
then 3 years ago, Spartan Race Magazine, which is like Sparta, Greece, not Sparta, Tennessee, but it's an international trail runners magazine. And they called it one of the 6 most scenic trail runs in North America is right here in our back door. And for all the millions of people who go to the Smoky Mountains every year, that's a different kind of tourism. What we have here is the adventure tourism stuff.
That's right.
Where people can go stay in the wilderness for days and maybe not even see another person, camp along the Caney Fork River, or they can kayak down the Caney Fork River if they're brave enough, that upper end up there where it's white water, and then, you know, do some spelunking and... And we've got lots of great places to eat and drink and be merry and that kind of thing.
And where they're coming from, we're close to what we call urban areas. Nashville, Knoxville, Chattanooga. You can go to concert. Anything you want to do is within an hour and a half of us, except for that ocean. We can't do the ocean, but we can plenty of water.
Well, but, you know, there's plenty of water, George. Do you realize if you added the shorelines for Center Hill, Cordell Hull, and Dale Hollow, mm-hmm. that length exceeds the coastline of Florida. We have a lot of water. It's fresh water.
Wow. And Dale Hollow Lake, I've heard, is the drink. It is pure enough you can – the drinking water.
And, it's a beautiful, clear lake with good visibility, lots of good scuba diving up there.
George Hoffer with Marvin Bullock. Marvin, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, man. You've got me excited about getting out of here, and you and I get out here in this wonderland. So let's continue on this vein. Anything else unique or anything you want to – and you're out there now as a retiree, but you're out there more active than ever probably in the outdoors.
Well, George, when I leave here, I'm headed to Florida, hopefully to buy a motorhome.
There you go.
And bring it back up here. And I've always wanted to drive all of US 70. Did you realize the US 70 was the first paved highway from the East Coast to the West Coast?
East to West.
Yep. And it goes from sea level, North Carolina, which is just 16 miles south of where I lived in North Carolina.
Okay.
All the way to Los Angeles. And I want to drive old US 70. I got on eBay. Found a brochure that they used to hand out, said paved all the way, trying to get people to come use this road, but it was a U.S. highway. And they, you know, had their little stops along the route and this kind of thing. And so it was that big of a deal back then to get across the country. There were some areas that you'd still be going down rock or gravel roads, dirt roads, and that kind of thing. Prior to the interstate.
This was one of the first major coast-to-coast highways.
And a lot of people think that's Route 66, but Route 66 actually starts 7. Up in Illinois and comes down to California from that direction. Do you know how Route 66 became popular?
Yeah, there was a show, wasn't it?
What spawned the show, and this is part of this motorhome trip that I'm going to take, when they put in the interstate systems there, it took the traffic off of Route 66. Small towns started suffering. Back in the early 60s, they lobbied, got Congress to give them $10 million to advertise. It became so popular, they even produced a television show about Route 66.
And a song, Route 66.
As I drive across country, I plan on stopping at lots of chambers of commerce, and I'm going to encourage them, let's get something going, because our Highway 70 that starts at sea level and goes all the way to L.A. would be, I'm going to call it the AT for your RV, and the AT being Appalachian Trail.
You could set, yeah.
And if a motorhome stops and fills up in your county, believe me, they've left some money in your county. And, of course, we hope that they'll stop. And in our case around here, see some waterfalls, go to the lake, eat at the restaurants, and that kind of thing. And so, but the whole world needs to know what a unique experience US 70 is.
You know, we've in Tennessee, we've done these trails. I mean, these Oak Ridge, you know, we've done the, you could do a US, like you're talking about, this could become a US 70 corridor.
That's, and, you know,
branding
for people.
And cut, ride the, you know.
You know, and I'm
like
glad that I'm glad that we have Interstate 40.
Yeah.
And when you, it's easy to get on and off and grab a nice meal at some of the major chain restaurants and that kind of thing. But you start getting on some of these side highways, and you'll start meeting the local people. And if you're not in a hurry, which us retired people don't have to be in a hurry, there's a lot of opportunity there. And you know, hopefully, it'll spur a little interest, more interest in people taking the side roads rather than getting on the highway.
But it's Americana, if you think about it. I mean, how many people have never experienced what we're talking about before the interstates and small town America? It's what a great idea, Marvin. That's going to be great. So your mind is still clicking, buddy. You hadn't retired. You've retired, but you're doing something you love.
I love this area, and I want to see it do well, and I'm going to get to have fun in the process.
Nothing wrong with that. Having fun is the – but again, we're going to come back here in just a few seconds and talk about more about the present and looking in that – you already started looking in the crystal ball about – the future with you and the future of this region. I would think our big challenge is don't screw it up. You know, quality of life, making sure as we grow that we take care of the environment.
Grow in a healthy
way. It's economic development. And we'll come back and talk about that. Wow, I'm ready to go, buddy. You got room on that? Well, I could enter Florida, will you, and help you drive back.
Sure.
George Hofford with Marvin Bullock. Very excited about the Upper Cumberland. Back soon. Well, George Hofford with Marvin Bullock, and as we predicted, man, the time is running by. What a rich life you have had and are having. And we're going to pick up where we left off. Also talk about looking in that crystal ball and talking about Marvin and our Upper Cumberland in the future. You're going to have lived on a sailboat, and you're going to have a motorhome, and you're going to drive Highway 70 coast to coast as soon as you get the motorhome, probably. And let's talk about all that a little bit more. You were off air. We were talking about Highway 70 and the little towns and what a major thoroughfare that was and is.
Yep. I call it a blessed life. I've been quite blessed to grow up here. When I see family from up in Newfoundland posting pictures of snow 5 feet deep, it was more of a blessing than you can imagine that we wound up down here. When I leave here today, I'm headed to Florida, hopefully to purchase a motorhome that I'm bringing back up here. And the goal is to drive from the very beginning in sea level North Carolina over at the Atlantic Ocean all the way to Los Angeles. Now,
3,
parts of the highway,
miles,
probably a little over 3,000
yeah,
miles.
Yeah.
And when you get into California, they no longer call it US 70, but I found a 1950s road atlas on eBay I'm going to go in and check, okay, this is the same road, and I'm going to follow that all the way to Los Angeles and stay on the old route as much as I can.
Wow, that is incredible. You know, we've said a couple of things off air about making sure our viewers, our listeners, tourism is economic development. It's the purest form of economic development. Let's talk a little bit about that for a moment and how it impacts us here in the Upper Cumberland.
You know, people tend to relocate where they recreate.
It
helps us get retirees. They come and they see some of this pretty stuff. They love to be around waterfalls. They like kayaking, maybe freshwater lake fishing and that kind of thing, and they decide to move here. But we've also used that and leveraged it to help grow our workforce in this area more than most areas.
That's right.
When people up in Illinois, especially if they love whitewater kayaking and they're living in a state as flat as a tabletop, if they find out that there's jobs down here that they, after work, they can run out and throw their kayaks on some of these rivers, They've come in droves. A few years ago, White County grew their workforce by 1,400 people by simply advertising to people up in in West Virginia, Illinois, so forth and so on. Relocate where you recreate. Showed them pretty pictures of people kayaking, waterfalls, going caving, hiking, and that kind of thing. And they decided to move here and take advantage of it. That helps our employers stay, exist as manufacturers by being able to get the workforce. And so it's not just tourism. It's it is economic development.
And when you overlay that with no state income tax, we're one of the most affordable states, well-managed. The state constitution, we talked about that off air, that we have to have a balanced budget. The feds, we could learn a lot nationally for about Tennessee. So we're a well-run, conservative to moderate state. I think we're moderates, east to west. We're historic.
I think we lean conservative, and, you know, the numbers of people I've met who have moved here lean conservative. And frankly, it's almost like they escaped where they came from. In some cases, they felt persecuted and that kind of thing. And, you know, I've seen so much of it, I almost feel like you're seeing the wheat separated from the chaff.
I agree.
And
I agree.
People coming here and the other states, and some of them, unfortunately, are in decline. But I think we've got a long and prosperous future right here in what to me is paradise on earth.
Me too. And again, depending, obviously, we can't control what we can't control. There's a world situation. There's a national. But we're well positioned in the future if we continue to value what we value. And earlier I said that we're left of center, right of center. You know, there, sure, you've got left wing, you've got far right wing, but and we've gotten more conservative. But growing up here for years, I say growing up, early career, good friends that are both, and they're I could tell you some stories, but I want to listen to you. But we're not that far apart as a people in our thinking process, whether you live in East Tennessee or rural West Tennessee. Now, the urban areas, a little bit different story. And we don't need to get off into politics right now. So what do you see in the future? I think you've already talked about that with our with tourism and economic development, with location. You know, that was one thing. Amazing how many people were halfway between Canada and Florida. One day's drive from 76% of the country's population. People come here, spend the night, do our recreation, and then they want to live here.
And George, this is why we have people coming that have lived up north. They've moved way down south, like into Florida, and now they're coming back here because, well, now they're within a day's drive of the grandchildren.
That's right.
And you know, it's more temperate, you know, more bearable during the summer than it is down in Florida and that kind of thing. And we're well within a day's drive of almost 80% of the U.S. population.
We've called them for years halfbacks. They grew up in Michigan, moved to Florida, and now they want to be halfway back to do just what you said. The grandchildren, they still like four seasons. And even though we've gotten, I'm not talking politics, but the climate is changing. We're a little warmer. But it's four seasons, and you can be in Michigan. You can be in Canada in a day or Florida.
Yep.
So it's I'm sold on it, aren't you?
I am. And this winter, we really did have the fourth season with our snow.
No. Love the four seasons. Love a long spring, long fall. Not crazy about icy cold winter or summer, but we've lost a little bit of that. But we're having some of that right now.
Yep.
I mean, but it's George Hofford with Marvin Bullock, and I'm just getting lost in thinking about all this wonderful stuff, Marvin, that we have, and what you have contributed, and what you do every day. Let's keep on this track. What do you see coming in the future and Sparta? Well,
and I've got to put in a plug here. That's a lot of that's because I had this wonderful mentor that is doing the interviewing right now. When I first went into that chamber job over there, Mr. Halford came over And I said, George, what does a chamber do? And he quickly said, Marvin, if you've seen one chamber, you've seen one chamber, implying that we all do something quite different. But gave me his cell phone number and, bless his heart, even answered the phone when I would call with questions.
Yeah, you're kind.
And described some schools that I should sign up for as soon as possible, economic development classes, the U.S. Chamber class, and so forth and so on. And even when I went to the economic development class in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, at least three of the instructors came up to me when they found out where I was from. Do you know George Halford?
Yeah. I couldn't find a steady job and work my whole life doing this. And then we've got this tradition. We're blessed to have people like you and others in our region that work together and commit. And we've got a new one now that we've shepherded who has taken your place. Let's put a little plug in for Miss Jenny.
For Jenny, I tell you, here's another thing about George being so selfless. He had this wonderful person over at the Cookeville Chamber. She actually lived in Sparta. When I first took over, George had sent her over there prior to me moving into the chamber over there to help keep the doors open. And then when it came time for me to hire an assistant, Jenny came over to me. When I asked George about it, he said, Marvin, I think what you said, as the tide rises, so do all the ships around
it. Perfect.
It will help all of us. And so Jenny's actually got 4.5 more years experience in the chamber than I do. She's been to the chamber schools. She's heard all of George Halford's spiels. She's probably heard all of mine at least 1,000 times. And she is a dynamo. I've told her many times in our 8 years together that our best chance in life might be if I just sent her to law school, because she's got that kind of brain. She can just lock in on something. She can come up with a solution. And so Sparta is in great hands, and she's hit the ground at a much higher pace than I could go, that's for sure.
But, Jenny, if you think about it, you're sitting here with a native, a mother, has children in school, small business, and an absolute dynamo. It was selfish on our part, to be honest with you, as a regional focus to have Jenny. And she's doing well, and I'm excited about her. We need to have her on this program talking about what she's doing right now.
I think you should. You know, she's already got them in a new building over there that's much easier to get in and out of. It's got plenty of parking. That new building alone, I think they said they're getting almost 10 times as many walk-ins because of the location of the building and the fact that it's much easier accessibility-wise. You don't have to go up steep stairs and that kind of thing.
Where's it located, Marvin? Our audience.
You know, it had been the Citizens Bank building on the east end of town there on US 70. So right as you leave town on the right, just past the courthouse.
That's great.
And it's right there across from Hunter Funeral Home at the traffic light that is unique in that anybody coming from the east is being directed by their GPS. If they're headed to Manchester, Tullahoma, even Huntsville, Alabama, it gets them off in Crossville, brings them right down US 70. They turn at that intersection right there at the Chamber of Commerce. And so we can have a little visitor center there. They can stop and learn about the waterfalls and other things to do while they're in the area. And it's taking advantage of a lot of out-of-state traffic that's just been passing through in the past.
And Highway 111, you know, we talk about 70, we talk about the interstate, but that's a huge, huge benefit. So the future is very bright if we continue on the path that we're on. Is that a fair?
Absolutely.
I'm a little bit envious of you in that motorhome. That sounds mighty good. Marvin, God bless you, and thank you for what you are doing. And George Hoffer with Marvin Bullock, great deal. Thank you.
Thank you.